I feel like I'm at a loss. What do I do? I love spending time in his presence. I love when the Spirit moves and you just let go and let God. Just sit back and say, what do you want to do, Lord? And I found that to be so beneficial in my life time and time again. Just if Arby gets out of the way, God can do amazing things. If I just step aside and say, what do you need me to do, Lord? And I really feel that what just happened really dovetails into my message. Of course, picking up from where we were last week, don't trip over what's behind you. Like, God's done some great things in the past, and maybe we haven't experienced that yet in our past, and we've only experienced trauma and hurt and pain and so on. And whether it's success or failure in our past, don't trip over it. Meaning, don't get stuck in your last success, and don't get stuck in your last hurt or pain or failure. But today is a new day. God's mercies are new each and every day. And we went to sleep and we woke up again, and so we get to walk and experience in the newness of the Lord today and experience what he has for us today. And yesterday's a bygone, so don't trip over it. Maybe it wasn't great, but let's do better today. I started last week in Isaiah 43, 18 and 19. Isaiah chapter 43, 18 and 19. I'm going to read it real quick because I love it, because it's the word of God. Forget the former things. Do not dwell on the past. See, I am doing a new thing. Now it springs up. Do you not perceive it? I am making a way in the wilderness and streams in the wasteland. That's a powerful passage of what God is doing, what was just offered today during this time of worship. God is saying, I'm doing a new thing. Will you partner with me in it? Will you step forward? And we're going to unveil what that looks like to partner with God and do a new thing. Immediately, we want to say, yes, Lord, please. But then we forget that we have to get involved and do our part to partner with the new thing that he is doing. In Exodus chapter 3, verse 7 through 10, there's a recap of last week. Exodus 3, 7 through 10. The Lord said, I have indeed seen the misery of my people in Egypt. I have heard them crying out because of their slave drivers, and I am concerned about their suffering. So I have come down to rescue them from the hand of the Egyptians and to bring them up out of that land into a good and spacious land, a land flowing with milk and honey, the home of the Canaanites, the Hittites, the Amorites, the Perizzites, the Hivites, and the Jebusites. And now the cry of the Israelites has reached my ear, and I have seen the way the Egyptians are oppressing them. So now I am sending you to Pharaoh to bring my people of Israel out of Egypt. So know that God sees you. Know that God hears you. Know that God is working and responding on your behalf. Know that God has good plans in store for you. And sometimes we get off God's path and we do our own thing, but God's plan is still going forth. God's plan is still before us, and what he sets in motion, he intends to complete, and he will see it to completion. And when we get off course, we have to say, sorry, Lord, repent, get back on his path. It's still there waiting for us. In Exodus chapter 12. Exodus chapter 12, verse 33 through 36. Of course, the Israelites have been enslaved in Egypt for 430 years at this point. It wasn't like a weekend stay. 430 years, for generations, they have been enslaved. Exodus 12, 33 through 36. The Egyptians urged the people to hurry and leave the country, for otherwise, they said, we will all die. So the people took their dough before the yeast was added and carried it on their shoulders in kneading troughs wrapped in clothing. The Israelites did as Moses instructed and asked the Egyptians for articles of silver and gold and for clothing. The Lord had made the Egyptians favorably disposed toward the Israelites, and they gave them what they asked for. So they plundered the Egyptians. Do you know that God can change your circumstance, your situation in an instant? These Israelites have been enslaved for 430 years. Captives, building pyramids, enslaved. And in an instant, this is just following the 10 plagues that he sent upon Egypt. But so quickly that they didn't even have time to finish making their bread. They had to take their dough with them. That's pretty quick. That's pretty quick. God can change your circumstance and your situation that quickly, in an instant. And he can send you with a blessing or with plunder as you go, even from your enemies. God caused the Egyptians to be favorably disposed to the Israelites so that when they left, they plundered them. They didn't have to fight a battle and win all the goods, but they were given in favor. God's favor goes with what he's doing and what is new, what lies before us, but we must partner with it. They had to step out in faith and begin leaving Egypt and everything they knew. They had to begin walking into the newness of what God was calling them to, not knowing what the desert would offer them, except for God had said, it's a good land, a promised land flowing with milk and honey, a spacious land. Oh, wait, there's a bunch of bad people that live there also. Make sure you follow God's plan and get in step with him. Numbers 11, 5 through 6. Of course, at this point, the Israelites have gotten out of Egypt. They had the encounter with the Red Sea, which we'll get back to in a moment. But they're now in the desert. They've now left Egypt where they were slaves, and they're now free, moving, operating on their own. In Numbers chapter 11, verse 5 and 6. Actually, we'll start in verse 4. I don't know if I gave that the sound. I did not. Forgive me. Numbers 11, verse 4. The rabble with them began to crave other foods. And again, the Israelites started wailing and said, if only we had meat to eat. We remember the fish we ate in Egypt at no cost. Also the cucumbers, melons, leeks, onions, and garlic. But now we have lost our appetite. We never see anything but this manna. Now the Israelites have just traveled from slavery to freedom. As they begin to move and walk into freedom, what happens but Pharaoh and the whole Egyptian army come after to pursue them. Meanwhile, the Israelites are being led by a pillar of cloud by day, the Spirit of the living God, and a pillar of fire by night. His presence is with them, physically leading them where to go, when to move, when to stay put. They are walking daily in his presence. And then they come up against the Red Sea, and all of a sudden they look behind, and the Egyptians are after us. Pharaoh's coming to kill us. What do we do? And God miraculously opens the Red Sea. And the Word of God says they crossed on dry ground. And I know I've heard many people say, oh, well, it was dried up. It was a drought year. And, well, if that was the case, then God drowned the whole Egyptian army in a pile of dirt. Right? He drowned them in dust. I don't believe that's true. I believe the sea was full. God parted the waters is what the Word of God says. They stood up and they crossed on dry ground. And there wasn't 8 or 10 of them. There were 600,000 fighting men, not counting the women and children, not counting their flocks and their herds. And I don't know if you've ever been to a graduation. I was just at one this weekend with maybe 500 people. It took a while for the people to exit the room and get through the hallway and out of the building. That's 500 people. I can't imagine a couple of million people trying to cross a Red Sea. I don't think it took 30 minutes or an hour. It probably took a day and a half to gather up all the flocks and herds and all their camping gear to get across the Red Sea. This was a huge event, and the Israelites are watching this scene, God's presence go before them and do these mighty miracles. And here they are out in the desert, and they've already complained about, there's no water, we're going to die. And God makes water come out of a rock so they can drink and live, and they get to witness this miracle. Not just a little water, water for a couple million people out of a rock. They're witnessing this firsthand, the presence of God day by day. And they finally get to this place like we're out of food, and God sends manna from heaven to feed them. Day after day, he's providing supernatural. Manna means what is it? They had never seen it before. They had no idea what it was, but it was sustenance that they could eat and provided for their bodies the nourishment they needed. And the presence of God was with them. And they're experiencing this day after day. And then they get to this point in Numbers 11. The presence is no longer good enough. I want the provision. They get to the point to where they preferred the provision they had in slavery over the new supernatural provision of God in his presence. They were tripping over what was behind them. Was God with them in slavery for the 430 years? Absolutely. He was the same God then in slavery as he was in freedom. But this new generation had to learn to walk in his presence. They had to learn to walk in the new thing that God was doing. And they had no frame of reference to do that because all they knew was slavery for generations. All they knew was bondage. And God's trying to teach them and train them and develop them in this moment. Unfortunately, a two-week journey took them 40 years to get it figured out. They should have been to the promised land in a couple of weeks. But because of the hardness of their hearts, and they kept tripping and stumbling over their past provisions and successes and failures, it took them 40 years. A whole generation had to die off before they could enter in to the promised land and what God had in store for them. God's intent and plan was for that generation to go in and inherit his presence along with his provision. The difference is when we live out Matthew 6:33, seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you. When we seek God's presence first, his provision will follow. And being content with what he provides is also a necessity. I can't imagine having supernatural food fall from heaven and feed me day after day. I would hope that I would never to get to the point that, God, this isn't enough. God, I want more. Your supernatural provision has been great, but like, where's the meat? And I love meat. I'm a meat eater. I'm pretty sure I'm mostly carnivore. But they had got to this place where it was better to be a slave with provision than walking in freedom in the presence of God and receiving what he had in store for them. But if we're going to move into something new, we have to be willing to do something new. Are you willing to do something new? Are you willing to change your habits, your hangouts, the people you associate with, your friend groups? You have to do something new. Otherwise, it's just insanity. Insanity is continuing in the same system, the same thing over and over, and expecting a different result. If you want a different result, you have to change your program. You have to change what you're doing. You have to change what you're reading. You have to change what you're listening to. You have to change who you're talking to. You have to change how you're talking about yourself and others. You have to, as the word says, renew your mind to the mind of Christ. No longer my thoughts, but your thoughts, Lord. No longer my ideas, but your ideas, Lord. No longer my plans, but your plans, Lord. And we start walking in that newness, but that newness doesn't come free, doesn't come easy. Leave the old behind. In order to leave the old behind, we have to be willing to give up our comforts, our familiar, our known, our security. I was just at the guys' weekend last week. Woo-woo, yeah, it was great. 200 men loving Jesus. Worshiping, singing, playing games, shooting, rafting, jet boating, all kinds of funness. But I had elected to go do the shooting. So it was skeet shooting, shooting little clay targets with shotguns. And before I went out there, I just had a guest at the ranch I worked for on a bear hunt, and he sent me a note. Said, hey, I got you a birthday present. Go to the lodge and pick it up. So I arrive at the lodge Saturday morning, and they have this brand new shotgun sitting in the office for me. I was like, thank you, Jesus, and my friend. But then I had this debate. I had old Trusty in the truck. Did I know where it shoots? I know how to shoot it, and we're like, we're buddies. And I'm really competitive. I'm pretty sure I can win the competition if I use Trusty. But I have this brand new thing. I have no idea how it patterns. I have no idea, is it close range, long range? I have no idea if it mounts well on my body, if I have to find the sights, and where's my target, and where do I hold on the target? And so I can go with what I know, or I can go with what I don't know and learn something new. So the first couple of stations were a little frustrating. Trying to figure out where to hold the bead according to the target, mounting the gun properly. It's also a semi-automatic, which I don't have one of those. I had to learn how to use and operate it. It was fun. But I had to be willing to do something new. I had to be willing to give up my potential to win the competition. And then my son beat me in. He's been rubbing it in ever since. But if we're not willing to leave the old behind and move into something new, we'll never experience and know. And I shot the gun again yesterday with some friends, and I shot it much better because I've now learned how to mount it properly and how it comes up to my eye right and where to hold according to where the target is, and I shoot it much better yesterday than I did a week ago. But unless we're willing to go do something new, we'll be stuck tripping over what's behind us. Head into the new. We have to be willing to head into the new experiences. Some people are adventurous and love that. Some people, that freaks them out, scares them to death. I want everything the same. I need my routine. Nothing new. Oh, there's a new road sign. We need to be willing to head into the new experience with the Lord. Experience Him at the next level. Experience what He has in store for us. We need to be willing to head into the new relationships that He has in store for us. Some relationships are for a moment, for a time, for a training, for a season, but some relationships are for a lifetime. We need to know the difference. God, who are you bringing into my circle today to build me and grow and develop me into the man or woman you want me to be? God, which relationships do I need to let go of so I can move on into the new thing that you have in store for me? We need to be willing to head into a new way, the new promises that we have not yet seen or known. We have to be willing to head in to the unknown. I talked to you a little bit last week about this elk hunt I'm getting ready to do in September in an area I've never been into. And so I went up there this Wednesday on my walk with God to Let's go check it out. Let's see what it looks like. Apparently, I'm the first person that's been there this year because I spent most of the day with a chainsaw in my hands cutting trees out of the road and eventually got into snowdrifts that were 5-6 feet deep and I couldn't go any further. But it was work. I spent 6 hours on a chainsaw. My body's not used to 6 hours on a chainsaw. And dragging logs and limbs out of roadways and throwing them over the hill. And it was something new. But when God calls us to something new, we have to be willing to get in and get dirty and do the work of what it takes. Because when we go and do something new, we don't know what we're getting into. We don't know what the road's going to look like. We don't know what the trail's going to look like. We have to be willing to go in and put the work and the time into experience the newness of what God has in store for us. And what we do know is that God is good. What we do know is that God is generous. What we do know is that God is kind. What we do know is that God is faithful. And what we do know is God will prepare and equip us along the way as we give him our yes and walk in obedience. Those are hard fast. We know God is who he says he is. And we can move forward knowing that. Say, God, I don't know what this looks like, but I know who you are. So I'm going to trust you with my next steps as I move into the unknown. And we're going to make this happen. There is a cost to his presence. It will cost you to be in the presence of God. For some of you, maybe this morning was very uncomfortable. Maybe online it was boring, sitting and watching. Like, what are we doing? But it takes time to get in God's presence. It's not an easy button. You have to set aside time in your life. You have to set aside alone time, quiet time. That's why I go for my walk with God on Wednesdays, because I want to get alone and in his presence and spend a whole day in it, because I want to hear from him and what he wants to say to you. I want to get clear in me what he's doing, what he's speaking, what he's saying. So it will cost you time out of your schedule, out of your agenda, to spend time in the presence of the Lord. It will cost you discipline. You will need to be disciplined to spend time in the presence of the Lord. It will cost you contentment. I kind of like where I'm at. I'm comfortable here. When we spend time in the presence of the Lord, it gets uncomfortable sometimes. I won't make you raise your hands, but were you uncomfortable a little bit ago? I know when I get alone with God sometimes, I'm like, well, what's he going to say to me? What's he going to want to shape and transform and mold in me? Well, sometimes it's a cutting away of, hey, Arby, like, you have some bad habits, you have some bad ideas, we need to prune those out of your life. And sometimes it's the good things in my life. He says, Arby, that was for a time and a season, but we need to prune that out of your life now so that you can go on to the next thing. And sometimes he's just transforming my heart and mind to be more like Jesus. But I have to be willing to give up my contentment with being where I'm at and continue pressing into his presence and moving forward. The Israelites became content with what they had as slaves in Egypt. And they said, oh, if only we could go back and have it again. That's contentment. Instead of, God, this is hard. God, another tree in the road, come on. I've cut out like 55 trees already. Another one? And God's just saying, keep moving forward. Keep pressing into my presence. Keep enduring. Keep persevering. Keep seeing that new thing that I have in store for you. And I cut this one tree out and got back in my truck and I drove around the corner, and then there are these beautiful morel mushrooms growing right down the middle of the road. Whew. Me and a bunch of fun guys had a party on the hill. Some of you will get that later. Apologize. Dad joke. I didn't even have to leave the road to pick mushrooms. It was fantastic. And honestly, on my way up there, I was listening to worship music and I was talking to God. And I said, I know the mushrooms are getting high and pretty much they're only popping where the snow is. I said, Lord, I would sure love one more good batch of morels to eat this spring. And then there they were, right down the middle of the road. But if I would have stopped cutting trees at tree 45 and said, I've had it, I'm done. But I had this goal, I had a mountain I wanted to get to. But if I would have stopped at tree 45, I wouldn't have got the mushrooms. I wouldn't have got the views from that mountaintop. I had to keep persevering and pressing in. It's the same way in his presence. Continue pressing in to what he has in store for you. It will cost us our control. Anybody like to be in control of your life and everything in it down to the last finite detail? That stresses me out. I don't like that. But I do like some control over certain things. But we have to be willing to give up our control to move in the presence of the Lord. And say, Lord, this is his service on Sunday. And if the Holy Spirit wants to show up and do something and meet people where they're at, like, that's why we're here. Like, so that God can be realized and so that God can transform lives into the men and women he's called us to be. And it's not, okay, got my church done for the week, I'm good to go to heaven. No, but we're supposed to be growing and developing and transforming into who God has called us to be in the likeness of his Son, Jesus Christ, and the knowledge of who he is as our Lord and Savior. We should be growing and developing and encouraging those around us to do the same. Sometimes our time with God and his presence is healing. Sometimes it's disciplining. Sometimes it's in restoration. We have to be willing. It will cost us our comfort. You have to get out of your comfort zone to get into the presence of God. I remember as a young boy at youth camp, I was probably 10 or 11. We were in this meeting, and there was a two-story building that we met in, and the top was the cafeteria / indoor service if the bugs were too bad outside. So one night we were in the upstairs in the indoor service, and we were sitting there in service, and the speaker was speaking, and the room began to fill with smoke, or what appeared to be smoke, but it didn't smell like smoke. And all of a sudden, when it got to you, it was like this weight came on you, but it wasn't a crushing, oppressive weight. It was like a warm, fuzzy blanket on a cold winter day. Like this comforting, just wrap around, envelop you. And I believe it was as the Israelites were experiencing here in their story, the Shekinah glory of God came in and filled that room. That's the only time in my life I've ever experienced it, but it was a little uncomfortable at first. Like, is the building on fire? What's going on, Lord? But pretty soon everybody was just experiencing the presence of God in such a physical way and a spiritual way. It was an awesome experience. But we have to be willing to get out of our comfort zone to experience the presence of God. We have to be willing to step into the unknown because we're natural. God's super. He put us together. It's supernatural. Be willing. Say, God, what do you have for me? I've seen some other pretty amazing things in God's presence and experiences. But it gets uncomfortable because it's not normal to us, but it's very normal to him. Sometimes to walk in God's presence, it will cost us our right to understand. I have no understanding of that smoke in that room or cloud or whatever. It was a blue sky, sunny day. There was no rain out. There was no clouds out. There was no fogs out, and it was just in that building. I have no understanding of that, but I know what I experienced and felt. I have to give up my right to understand and say, just God, you're amazing. Like the peace, the comfort, I can't explain it in human words what that was like. It felt like hours. I'm sure it was a few minutes. It was incredible. And God has those experiences in store for all of us, not just one of us. Maybe it won't be a cloud. Maybe it'll be something else for you. But God, He loves you so much. He cares for you so much. Don't put more stock into your provisions than you do into his presence. Seek his presence first and allow the provisions to follow. The power of his presence is not contingent upon my provisions. The power of his presence is not contingent upon your provisions. His presence is so powerful and so real. Matthew 11, 28, verse 30. Matthew 11, 28, verse 30. 28 through 30, excuse me. Come to me, all you who are weary and burdened, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am gentle and humble in heart, and you will find rest for your souls. For my yoke is easy, and my burden is light. Sometimes when we get to a hard place in life, it's what makes us want to go back to where it was easy instead of pressing through. God invites us. When you get to that hard place in life, come to me, all who are weary and burdened, and I will give you rest. He invites us when we hit tree 46 is all I can do. I'm done. I'm tapping out. He says, when you've reached the end of your resource, make me your source. Come to me. My burden is light and easy. Yoke yourself with him. And in Matthew 22, verse 37 through 40, Matthew 22, 37 through 40, Jesus replied, love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul and with all your mind. This is the first and greatest commandment, and the second is like it. Love your neighbor as yourself. All the law and the prophets hang upon these two commandments. The devil would love nothing more for you and I to just get tripped up with a bunch of rules and regulations. Jesus says, I came for relationship. I came so that you may have a relationship with me. And if you will just adhere to these two things, love God and love people, you will fulfill the law. Not that we get to forget the law, but if we're loving God and loving people, we fulfill the law. Walk in his love as you move forward. Continually press in as you move forward. Don't look back. Don't trip over what's behind you. God, what do you want me to do moving forward? Well, I'm unsure. I'm unclear. What's he saying? Is it loving God and loving people? If you can say yes and yes, begin moving forward. You can work out the details as you go. God's plan, his word, when he speaks it forth, it's going to happen. It's going to come to pass. We have to be willing to partner with what's happening new, because otherwise we become those Israelites in the desert that keep going around the same mountain again. 40 years of insanity had to die off before the next generation could cross the Jordan and experience what God had in store for them 40 years ago. That's what it looks like when we walk in something new. Service was something new today. Not our normal service, but it was awesome. Who knows what God has in store for us next week? Who knows what God has in store for you today? Who knows what God has in store for you tomorrow? But we do know that he is good, he is faithful, and he is kind. Amen. Heavenly Father, we ask that you would, God, open our eyes. God, open our hearts to know and experience, God, to begin walking forth in boldness, God, into the new things that you have set before us, God, walking forth in that new freedom. God, as you begin to break those bondages, God, as you begin to set the captives free, Lord God, that you would, God, give them the courage and the boldness to begin walking forth in that newness of life, God, that newness of direction, God, led by your Spirit. God, that they would begin walking in the anointing and the authority, God, of your Son, Jesus Christ. God, fulfilling, God, the calling upon their lives. God, fulfilling the ministry and mission you have set before them. God, open their eyes to see, open their ears to hear. And God, every time the devil would try to squeak in a lie or deception or lay a trap, God, that their eyes would be wide open to it. God, that they would recognize and avoid it. Father, that they would be led by your Holy Spirit to do all that you've called them to. God, use us, God, to lead those around us into this new life in Jesus Christ. Father, use us to lead those around us into freedom as you direct us. Father, we thank you for this in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen.